goodwill to all the earth and peace divine. All of the earth rejoice, it's Christmas time.
angels, angels in the night. Angels, angels from on high, messengers of grace, messengers of light. Angels, angels fill the skies. Angels from the highest height, glory all around, heaven reaching out, a song we've never heard, how beautiful the sound, singing Gloria, Gloria, singing Gloria, Gloria. This day a Savior has been born. Jesus, He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign. You will find a child, and suddenly the sky was filled with sacred choir. They sang glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on the earth to those on whom His favor rests. They sang glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on the earth to those on whom His favor rests. They sang glory to God. God is with us now, mercy coming close, majesty touched down. Majesty, Gloria, singing Gloria.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let's try it again. It's okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good to see you. Thanks for being here. And we say a welcome also to all of our friends joining us online. Remember that we do offer that. You live stream our services or view them afterwards. They're all archived there on our website. But it's a great opportunity if you're traveling or perhaps not feeling well. It's that season for that as well, that you can just stay connected and join in here at Trinity. So welcome to everybody. So glad that you chose to join us to worship the Lord together, because that's what we're going to do. And we're going to worship God in many ways this morning. We're going to worship Him through song, through music. In just a moment, we'll stand and sing praises to Him, giving Him thanks. And we also worship the Lord by reading and hearing His Word. And I'll open us up in a reading from the Old Testament this morning as our call to worship. We also bring worship to God, our worship to God through prayer and even through our time of fellowship. Because truly worship is simply our bringing attention to Him and recognizing God as the one who is worthy. And so we offer ourselves up in worship to Him. And Jesus says that that is what the Father God is looking for. Worshipers who would worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we do that. We worship Him in spirit because God is spirit. And we worship Him in truth because we talk about the Word of God, the truth that He has revealed to us. And we sing songs that remind us through its lyrics about the truth of who God is and who we are in His sight. Before I read from the scriptures as our call into worship, I wanted to give a special shout out to all of our kids because last Sunday they created decorations and ornaments for our lovely tree in the lobby, and they helped to decorate that. So can we just give all the kids a round of applause? We thank them. Amen. It was awesome. And so make sure that after our service or during our greet one another that maybe you can say thank you to one of the kids before they go down to their class. But we're always grateful for their participation, and they loved doing that. And so we're thankful, and thank everybody that helped us to decorate last week. We praise God that we can do that together. And so this morning's reading, is what we call our call to worship, is taken from Isaiah 9. These words, some of these words may be familiar to you, but this passage of Scripture is often read this time of year. But I'll be reading from Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7. And this will be what we do as our call into worship, which simply means this. It means that we hear from God, we hear His very word, and we want to allow it to just sink deep into our hearts, to ready our minds, to prepare us for worship, to prepare us to bring worship to our God, and to lay aside anything else that we may be worried about or thinking about or focused on, and bring our full attention to Him. So here's what it says in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. For in earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious. By the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. For the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation, you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will be on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. Why don't we stand together and I'll pray us into worship. Father, we thank you for these powerful and encouraging words. Yes, we know of this prophecy long ago, Father. We thank you that you promised the Messiah, that you kept your promise and sent us Jesus over 2,000 years ago. Father, we thank you that he came his first advent to offer that peace, to bring salvation to the world, to be the light of this world. And we know that, Father, he has promised to return, and we look forward to that, where he will carry the government upon his shoulders, and he will bring that perfect peace. God, we look forward to that day. But Lord, now we sing songs of praise to you about that peace that we enjoy in our lives now, the peace in our heart, our peace in being reconciled to you. So God, we offer up worship to you and songs of praise because of the peace that you have offered to us through Jesus Christ. So we sing these songs in praise to him, and we do so in his name. Amen and amen. Let's sing together, church.
There is perfect love in me. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, and everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I've built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season.
Father, how glorious you are. What a privilege it is to worship you. God, that we can sing words of truth like that, that Jesus lives. God, you live within us. You are here now, of course, in our midst, and we want to continue to worship you in your presence. What a great honor and privilege it is. Thank you, God, that we are alive in Jesus Christ. By simply believing in him, Father, we sing hallelujah to that. God, continue to bless us. Lead us through your Spirit this morning as we give you all honor and glory that belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Say good morning to somebody next to you.
Let us begin the celebration and the ceremony. reason for leaving. Can you feel the hope that's rushing in? God is with us.
All right, praise the Lord for great worship and fellowship. And if we can make our way back to our seats. So good to be able to see all of you together this morning. Praise God for a good time of worship and fellowship. Grateful to Him for that opportunity. I do trust and pray that this is just the beginning of a new week of worship for you. A Sunday morning, you know, and sort of as the ancient church did, they gathered on Sundays, the first day of the week, of course, to celebrate the resurrected Savior. We were just singing about how He lives, and that's what the early church did, and so we do that as well. And so I do trust that this is the beginning of a new week for you in worshiping God. But we get to do that together this morning, and that is something very special. We continue to thank everyone who volunteers and works with our kids ministry. They are preparing for their presentation coming up in a couple of weeks, and so we're thankful for them. I just keep them in prayer as well as they have an opportunity now during our service to go down the hall and have their own time of worship and fellowship together, but we're grateful. And so just before we dig into God's Word together, just a few things what we call church life, just kind of get caught up in where we are and the things that we've experienced, things that are coming up. Remember that our core values are very important to us. We learn, we grow, and we serve. And that's how we pursue being disciples. We learn the truth, we grow in faith, and then we serve, and we serve each other. We serve our community and the world around us. And so these are important to us, and this is what we do when we gather together, and we kind of just continue to repeat that process, right? And that is the life of a follower of Christ. Remember, too, that we're taking donations now for our January outreach. We'll announce the date soon, but it's always at the end of January, and we do that every year where we go down to Delaware. And this year we're bringing coats, and so we want to be able to help those who are in need. We get to meet many amazing people that, for all different reasons and circumstances, are living on the streets or experiencing severe poverty down in that area. And so we just go to help and to serve. And of course, to meet an immediate need, like a coat during the middle of winter, but to then strike up conversations, to get to hear their stories and listen and share our stories. And we pray that it leads to gospel conversations. But we are taking donations, so as you feel led, if you have any gently used coats or feel led to buy a coat or two, you can bring those in the next month or so as we're collecting for our January outreach in Delaware. We thank you to our missions program that puts that together. And as I mentioned, our children, the Trinity Kids Ministry, has been preparing and rehearsing diligently for their presentation, for their annual Christmas presentation. And that will be in a couple weeks on December 22nd. So make sure that you keep that on your calendar. It's a great Sunday to invite friends and family to come out. And the kids will be putting together a wonderful Christmas presentation during our service. So it'll be part of our worship service. And we get to have them lead us in a time of kind of special worship, reminding us of the importance of this season. So that is December 22nd, coming up quickly. And then, of course, on Christmas Eve, we have our classic candlelight service. And it begins at 6 p.m. And, of course, it's on December 24th. And it's just a special time of worship and of prayer. And, of course, we open God's Word. And our theme this year is Hope is Born. So we'll talk all about the hope that Jesus brings to our world. It's a beautiful reminder, of course, that our world desperately needs hope, doesn't it? every person that you meet throughout the course of your day absolutely needs hope and is desperate and looking for hope. And maybe they don't even realize it, but they are. And so Christmas Eve will give special attention to the birth of hope on Christmas Day. And so hopefully you can join us for that special service, 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve. And so today, as we continue in our Advent series, we're taking a break from our journey through Matthew. As you know, we love to go through books of the Bible here at Trinity and journey through them together. We're currently going through Matthew, but just taking a brief break, pushing pause on that just for the month of December, and looking at some four classic themes of the Advent season. Remember, Advent simply means arrival. And so this season traditionally in the church has been kind of set aside as we anticipate the arrival of Christmas, right? Anticipate the arrival of Jesus. Now, when we were kids, we had a lot of anticipation for Christmas, maybe for other reasons, right? And because we knew that Christmas morning there would be presents and it would be a special morning. And last night, as we were just doing some work around the house, we had on The Christmas Story, the very popular Christmas movie, right? And it just kind of opens with that, and the narrator is talking all about anticipation because of the excitement of Christmas and presents. But of course, as believers in Jesus, we understand that true meaning of Christmas and why it is that we can be in such great anticipation. And so that is the Advent season. And so last Sunday, we looked at hope. And we looked at why it is that Jesus brings hope, and we'll sort of go through that more on Christmas Eve. But today's theme is peace. And peace is such an interesting word because we think of all different things when we think of peace, don't we? You know, one of the things that I love to do, Claudia, my wife, and I love to do on Christmas is once we get all the decorations up, we always do that the weekend after Thanksgiving. Anybody else do that? Maybe many of you have your decorations up already, and we have our tree. And I just love the peace that the Christmas lights bring. You know, in the evening, when the house is quiet, when the kids were little and they were asleep, and you're like, oh, you can just kind of relax. And you have the lights dimmed, but you have all the beautiful Christmas lights on the tree and around the wreaths and the candles and the fireplace, and it just, you kind of, maybe you get your coffee or your hot chocolate, and you just like, there's this beautiful sense of quiet and peace. I love that. And then maybe you just kind of look in your living room and you see the nativity scene. I was thinking about this the other day, and boy, they just seem like they're at such peace. They always look the same every year. Do you notice that? But they have such peace. I mean, Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they're just so still and peaceful. And the wise men, right? And the shepherds and the angels, they're all together. And there's such, it seems like such peace. And you're just like, oh. But then you think, and you're just like, boy, you would like to have and enjoy that peace every minute of every day. But then you think, boy, outside, if you were to leave your house outside, is there peace in the world? Is there peace in your world? In that moment in your house with the beautiful Christmas lights, there's this beautiful sense of peace we love, but is there peace in your heart? Is there peace in your home? Is there peace in your relationships? And is there peace in the world? Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. Amen. Right? And we're often reminded of that truth this time of year. And so we know we get that, especially from Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There it is. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But here's the question, church, for this morning. What kind of peace did Jesus bring? Is it only for the future? Is it only a peace that we will experience in heaven, or is it for now? The angels came and proclaimed the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, and they announced Jesus' birth, and in Luke chapter 2, it says, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" Could you imagine that scene? Do you think that scene was very peaceful? I mean, the angels are appearing to the shepherds, and it says they were afraid. The angels are appearing, telling them that there is peace on earth because for you today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. That there is this promise of peace. But do we have peace on earth? Well, it says right here, on earth, peace. That's what Jesus came to bring. But we think about that in our lives and in our relationships, but in our world, is there peace? I mean, you turn on the news, you flip through your news feed, and do you learn about peace? Are you seeing a peaceful world that we live in? Do you know that over the past about 4,000 years of human history, 2,000 years before Jesus, scholars have studied and shown that our world has known a total of 268 years of peace, over 4,000 years. That's about 8% of recorded history. There have been thousands of wars, even just in the last 100 years since the end of World War I, there have been 260 major wars around the world and countless more minor conflicts. Do we have peace in our world? But then we need to ask, is something like war simply the opposite of peace? What about violence and what about crime? Do we live in a world where we can say peace on earth? Well, this Advent season is just a time for us to reflect on these questions, to think about peace in anticipation of celebrating the arrival of Messiah, Jesus, his birth, the promised Prince of Peace. We reflect, is there peace in our hearts and in our homes, in our relationships and in our world? Church, how do we even truly define peace? And can it exist? And if it does, and it can, how do we get it in our lives? Well, as I mentioned before here at Trinity, we have three core values: learn and grow and serve, how we pursue being disciples, followers of Jesus. So let's just take a few minutes together this morning to go through learn and grow and serve in the issue of peace. Let's learn about what the Bible says about peace. Let's find how to grow in our practice of peace and see how we can serve others through the peace that God offers. First, we talk about learning. We gather together at Trinity to learn the truth about who God is, the truth about who we are in God's eyes. So what does the Word tell us? What does God tell us about peace? Well, first and foremost, the peace that Jesus brings, the peace that God offers himself, is about our spiritual condition. See, we need internal peace, peace with God. It's that peace that brings us reconciliation. See, when we talk about peace and we want to learn about peace, well, first we start with that. There is this internal peace that we all need. Romans 5 says it this way: "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I love these two verses, the beginning of Romans 5. Look at the words included in here. Faith and peace and grace and hope and glory. See, because of sin, we are separated from God. We are actually called in scriptures enemies of God before we put our faith in Christ. We are called of this world. We are elsewhere called slaves to sin. But in Christ, we are reconciled to God. Now, slaves of Christ, separate from the world, but joined to God. We now know the truth and no longer need to believe the lie. We are set free by the truth. Jesus himself says he is the way, the truth, and the life. See, now in Christ, we are justified and are being sanctified in Christ, set apart from the world, because in Christ, we have peace with God. See, that is our internal new condition. Because we are separated by our sinful nature, we are separated by sin, by birth and by choice from God. And we need peace. We need to be reconciled to God. Because we're called enemies of God before Christ. So in a way, we are at war with God, whether we knew it or not, but where there needs to be peace in our hearts with God. And we only find that through Christ. Colossians 1 says this, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Isn't that powerful? It was Jesus Christ, his willingness to go to the cross on our behalf, that brought peace as an offer to the world. Christ offers peace to each and every one of us because we all need to be reconciled to God. So the Word of God teaches us about peace. We are to learn together as we learn and grow and serve together. We are to learn more and more about peace, this peace that only Christ can offer. Church, do you know that we are to be people of peace? Because we know reconciliation with God through Christ. In Christ himself said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So church, we are people of peace, and we know then who we can introduce people to, who is the Prince of Peace. For we are reconciled to God and now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we learn all about peace from his word. But how do we then grow? What about growing in peace? Growing in our practice of peace. This is, see, this growth, this sanctification process, being a disciple, a follower, this is the hard work. This is saying no to sin. This is when Jesus says, you want to be my disciple, my follower? Then you deny yourself, you take up your cross and follow me. He said, this is going to be hard. But we are to live in peace and grow in our understanding of peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. See, in Christ, we have internal peace, right? Reconciled to God. But you are also to practice peace, to grow in that peace, that external peace. Maybe we talk about it this way, peace with others. Let me ask you, are you at peace with the people in your lives? Do you have peace in your relationships, maybe in your home or with your friends or your coworkers? Are you at peace with the people in your lives? Christ calls us to not only believe in him for that eternal peace, that what is internal in us that now gives us that new position in him, but there is to then be the external peace where we share that peace with others. It's where we recognize that our soul, our mind, our body, our whole being needs to be brought into submission daily, surrendered to him so that we may walk in peace. For what separated us from God has been made new. Our spirit, which is how we connect with God, God is spirit, is made new, and we are now to walk in peace. Ephesians 6 talks about, maybe you're familiar with this, the armor of God, right? And we know as spiritual beings that there is such thing as spiritual warfare. And Paul tells us toward the ends of at the end of his letter to the book in Ephesus, to the church in Ephesus, he says, you know what? You are to put on the full armor of God. It was a way of sort of symbolizing, of describing what it looks like to be ready for spiritual warfare, ready to go into battle each day because we have an enemy. And he describes all the different parts of what people would have understood, like a Roman soldier's different armaments. And he says, put it all on. But in verse 15 of Ephesians 6, he describes the shoes as part of that. Maybe we don't even think about that. We think about a soldier's armor. We think about a weapon in their hand, maybe a helmet and the breastplate, you know, the shield. But here in verse 15, he talks about our feet. He says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. How about that? As part of the armor of God, for our feet, nonetheless, we have the gospel of peace. What does that look like? Think about that. Of all of the parts of your body, what do your feet help you do? Well, they help you get places. They help you to walk out into battle, but they also help you to stand, don't they? Your feet help you to be stable. You know, when I first got here to Trinity, it was a number of years ago. Maybe some of you who were around, you remember that I had surgery on my right foot, and I couldn't put weight on it for about a month or so, and I had one of those little knee scooters. Do you guys ever have that? And I had it here at church, and then some fine people got me a horn and a bell for my scooter. And so when the countdown was just about done, I'd open the door and just scoot on in, and I'd ring the bell and the horn, and it was time for church. And I'd come, and that's how I started having a stool up here, because I couldn't stand. I couldn't put weight on it, so I needed to sit and preach, and it kind of stuck. And so normally I'll sit and for part of the message, and that's kind of how it started. But I've always seemed to have issues with my feet, whether it's my Achilles tendon or my heel or things like that. Some of you are, you know, you're aware of that and you have similar issues. But boy, I'm very keenly aware of the importance of feet. Me and my podiatrist, like, we have a good relationship, right? But why is it, I mean, you take things like your feet for granted, you know? But you need your feet to stand, to be stable. I mean, when you're in one of those boots, you're kind of limping and you're not even, and then all of a sudden your back starts hurting because of that. And it's, but you realize, boy, your feet are so important. They get you places. But when it's painful to take every step, it reminds you the importance of your feet. So Paul is saying, you know what, with the full armor of God, the spiritual armor, he says, be careful of your feet. Because, I mean, as a soldier, you want to stand strong when the enemy is attacking you. You want to be stable. And he says, you know what's going to keep you stable? The peace of the gospel. In the midst of battle, I mean, he talks about the gospel of peace covering our feet, being the protection, right, the armor for our feet. But why do we need armor unless we're in a battle? And so he's talking about spiritual warfare. So there's going to be turmoil. There's going to be war. There's going to be problems, difficulties in our lives. And he says, you know what? Make sure you're standing strong. And the way that you do that is to remember you have peace through Christ. And that gospel of peace is what will keep you standing firm. We sang earlier about how Christ is our firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. And we sing, right? He never let us down, and he never will. And so Paul says, keep the gospel of peace around your feet. Let it be your firm foundation. We are to stand on that peace. And he says in that verse, the readiness, being ready at all times. I mean, do you wake up and go out into the world and you know every issue that's going to come at you? You know what you're ready for? No, we don't always realize that. So we always have to be ready. So he says, be ready as a soldier would be ready. Make sure. It's like saying, make sure before you leave the house, before you get started, that you got your full armor on. Make sure the gospel of peace surrounding and steadying and readying your feet. It brings us stability. It's why we long for peace. Because when there can be so much turmoil in our lives, when everything around us seems to be shaken and everything around us seems to be shifting sand, we long for that rock to stand on. We kind of feel that way in our lives, in our world today, that, boy, what can we put our trust in? Things that maybe we had so much confidence in, we're not so sure anymore. We think, man, there's so much instability in our lives and around the world. What is it that I can count on to keep me standing firm? It is the gospel of peace offered only by Jesus. Our enemy can't take away our salvation, but he can try to knock us off of our firm foundation. So we need to stand strong in the gospel of peace. So those shoes that we are to wear in spiritual warfare is peace. It's that calm tranquility of soul in the midst of difficult circumstances. You see, it's a misconception that peace is simply the absence or opposite of war. It's not true. True peace is what you have in Christ in the midst of war and turmoil. Remember Jesus in the boat? Like probably the best illustration we have in Scripture. Jesus and his disciples on the boat. And a great storm kicks up in the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are fearing for their lives. Now, where is Jesus to save us? And where is Jesus? Asleep in the back of the boat. He had peace. But see, he allowed there to be a storm. He knew there'd be a storm. And so Jesus doesn't promise that our lives would be easy and there would be absence of war or turmoil or difficulty or strained relationships in our lives. He doesn't promise that. But he promises he will be there offering peace every step of the way. See, the key to that story is that Jesus is in the boat with the disciples. There's a storm. And he has the power to calm it. And we can pray for that and cry out for that. But most importantly, remember, we want to be in the boat with Jesus, don't we? He is there in the midst of the storm. Peace is that calm of soul in the midst of difficult circumstances. So how do we put on these shoes, this gospel of peace? How do we wear them? See, we need to apply the good news of the gospel to every area of life. We know that it is instrumental in our salvation. That's what we learn, right? That we are reconciled to God because of peace in Christ. But we are to apply that to everyday lives, to our relationships, as we not only learn about that, but we grow. We grow in our understanding of peace, then we start to apply it to every area of our lives. Like our relationships. Ephesians 2 says this earlier in that book. For he himself, of course, meaning Jesus, is our peace. How about that? Christ himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh, listen to this, the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making what? Peace. See, in the context here, he's talking about Jew and Gentile now being one in Christ. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, simply meaning anyone who's a non-Jew, you have to put your faith and trust in Christ, in him alone, for your salvation. But he's saying in Christ, Christ breaks down, he tears down that dividing wall of hostility. So we are all now one in him. Talk about the perfect example of peace in relationships. That is what Jesus does. Those two groups separated, now one, but only in Christ. Jesus breaks down walls of division and hostility. Will you allow him to do that in your life, in your relationships? Let Jesus bring peace as we grow in our understanding of peace. And finally, we learn about peace. We have to grow in it, right? It's the internal and then it's the external peace in our relationships. But how do we then serve others and the world around us with peace? Well, we're called elsewhere in 2 Corinthians to be ministers of reconciliation. See, Paul says, now that you've been reconciled to God through Christ, tell others about this reconciliation. Tell others, invite others, introduce others to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. This is the perfect time of year to do it. Everybody's looking for peace in their lives, in their minds, in their hearts. So we are now called ministers of reconciliation. So we are to bring the message of peace to a world in need, being his ambassadors. Look at what it says, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. See what Paul is saying? We have new eyes, a new perspective. Don't look at people in a worldly way. You look at them as God's creation, made in God's image, needing peace. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Isn't that amazing? Christ is saying, you are now reconciled in me because you put your faith and trust in me. Now I want you to go out and be ministers of reconciliation. Perhaps God wants to use you during this Christmas season as a minister of reconciliation in your home or in your neighborhood or in your workplace. Consider that, church. Is God calling you to live a life of peace among others, to bring peace into your world as now a minister of reconciliation, as Christ broke down the dividing wall of hostility? Perhaps he wants to use you to do the same. He goes on to say, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though we're making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's what we're called to, church. Elsewhere he says these about peace. Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Romans 14. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. See, that's the ministry of reconciliation. Are we pursuing the things which make for peace? Are we being peacemakers? Maybe sometimes we are the troublemakers. Romans 12 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I love that verse. Look at what it says. I think Paul's being realistic. He's a realist here. He says, you know what? If possible, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You can't control what other people say or do or how they react to what you offer to them. But you be in control of what you offer. Are you girding your feet with the gospel of peace? Are you then walking in peace among others? Are you bringing the ministry of reconciliation, the peace of Christ, into your home, in your relationships, as far as it depends on you? When it's all possible, be at peace with all people. Serve one another in the reconciliation ministry that we have. We are people of peace. We are to bring the message of shalom. Shalom, peace to the world. And see, there will be eternal peace. So we have that internal peace. We are to then live and pursue the external peace. But we also know that Christ promises one day there will be eternal peace. The peace that is prophesied for the Messiah's coming kingdom. Isaiah talks all about it. But in the meantime, we are to be peacemakers on earth. John 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Remember when Jesus was, he was trying to comfort his disciples as he was preparing them for his departure? He says, "I'm giving you peace. I'm leaving you with my peace." But it's not the peace the world can offer. We all look for peace in different ways, but he's saying it's all futile and fleeting. I leave you my peace, not the kind of peace the world can offer. So don't let your hearts be troubled. He's saying, follow my peace. One day, there will be perfect peace when Christ returns. Look at what Isaiah 26:3 says. "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you." You know, it's interesting. This is where we get this idea of perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3. See, Isaiah is talking about that coming day when Christ will rule on the earth, when he returns his second advent. He returns to the earth and sets up his kingdom. And it says, "For those of you who are steadfast in mind, give us that perfect peace." Why? Because they are the ones that trust in him. But you know what's interesting in the Hebrew? Of course, it's from the Old Testament. In the Hebrew, there's no word there for perfect. It literally says, shalom, shalom. It says, you will keep this person in shalom, shalom. Because in the Hebrew, when you repeat the word, it brings emphasis. It means completeness. And so Isaiah is saying, you'll have complete peace. The translators say, well, the best way to say it is perfect peace. They couldn't just say, he will keep you in peace, peace. So in English, we know, I mean, the Bible wasn't written in English, and so lots of times it's hard to translate. But in the Hebrew, it says, shalom, shalom. If you greet somebody and you say shalom, but if you're really like wanting success and completeness in their life, it's a heartfelt, yes, I greet you with peace. You say shalom, shalom. It's that perfect and complete peace. Maybe we can start trying that. Just repeat the words that you want to emphasize. Shalom, shalom. God will keep us in perfect peace. And like also found also in Isaiah, a little before that, what a great, beautiful description of the coming peace given to us with the contrasts of opposition in our natural world. Think about this. Again, this is a prophecy about the coming kingdom where the Prince of Peace will have the full government on his shoulders, and Isaiah says there will be no end. Listen to the beautiful description of this and get this idea of peace. In that time, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Does that happen now? No. And the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of a cobra, And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Church, is the earth really now full of the knowledge of the Lord? Does everybody on planet Earth know the Lord and trust in him and live for him? No. But that day is coming. What a great picture, in contrast of how it is now, of the perfect peace, the shalom, shalom, when Christ returns. See, Christmas time, we celebrate the first advent of Christ. But we also know for us, as believers, we look forward to the second advent when Jesus will return to the earth. These are the things we will get to experience. And why? Because it all comes through Christ. We need to remember this, church. Peace comes from our Savior and not from our circumstances. And then we end where we began. For to us a child is born, for us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there'll be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God will do this. The Prince of Peace will bring an everlasting peace. His kingdom will come, his will be done on earth as it is now in heaven. But church, in Christ, today we may know his peace. And we are told simply to be reconciled to God, that we are to receive salvation, a free gift offered to us simply by faith. For by grace, God's grace, which means he did it all, by grace we have been saved through faith. That's how we receive that gift. It's not of our works, Paul says. It's like at Christmas time and somebody gives you a gift and you're sitting around the tree on Christmas morning and somebody gives you a gift. You don't reach into your wallet and say, how much? How do you receive that gift? Well, maybe some of you do, but you shouldn't. How do you receive that gift? You simply reach out your hand and say, thank you. Right? That's how we receive the gift of salvation, because Christ paid for it. It's now offered to you for us to simply receive. It is by believing. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. What does that mean, believe? It means that you believe that he is who he says he is, the very Son of God, the promised Messiah, and that he did what he said he was coming to do, die on the cross and come back to life. And it was all done for the forgiveness of our sin, that he did it for the world, but he did it for me, and he's the only one that can. We are told over and over simply by believing. We receive that reconciliation with God. We can know the peace of God today. And then we are called to be his ambassadors, to be ministers of reconciliation, to bring peace to our homes and to our world. Would you stand with me as I read this final verse? And then we're going to close by singing a song together. As we sing about our Prince of Peace and peace on earth that he came to bring. Because one day there will be shalom, shalom. 1 Thessalonians 5 just kind of summarizes it this way. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. That means your whole life. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Like it says in Isaiah 9, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. The one who is faithful will do that for you. May we have the peace of God through Christ. And may we then bring that peace as we walk out in peace with the gospel of peace surrounding our feet, walk out in peace into our world, church, that so needs to hear the gospel of peace. They truly do. Would you sing with me? Let's sing together this song that reminds us about the Prince of Peace and what he has come to bring to our world. We proclaim that good news in your presence here, Father, and we do so in the name of Jesus through the Holy Spirit that you have given us. Thank you, God, that we have the great privilege to be able to proclaim the Prince of Peace is our Messiah and Savior. We look forward to your return, Jesus, but until then, may we keep singing the truth of this song. That we have peace with you, Father, reconciled to you. Now, God, may we go from this place and be ministers of reconciliation, your ambassadors, having the peace of the gospel of Jesus around our feet. God, protect us each day in battle. May we represent you well. But God, thank you that we can enjoy peace, peace in our hearts, and peace in our homes, all because of you. We thank you, God. And of course, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for joining us, being together this morning, church.
So this is how it was, a silent night like it.